This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
This is Charlottesville Right Now. Dahlia Lithwick is an editor at Slate and also a columnist with Newsweek magazine. She joins me live in studio. How are you? It's good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
Are you tired of the rain yet?
I was tired of the rain 10 days ago, Coy. When my basement flooded up to my eyeballs,
oh,
I was
my goodness.
Really tired of the rain.
No, you're kidding. No. Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's awful.
What do you do? You bail.
Was it really? You just walked down and there was just
last night,
water everywhere?
Well, I have to confess, my husband walked down and it was water everywhere.
Oh, Dahlia, that's awful.
It is.
I mean, I've heard of that happening to people, but
the whole house smells like a big wet cat right now.
Oh, no. Great.
Anyone who is thinking of coming over for dinner is now turning
Don't.
Their car around, fleeing the scene.
Gosh, so yeah, I guess you start making phone calls.
Yeah.
Good thing there's people that specialize in that kind of
yes.
thing. Yes, indeed. So your thoughts when you heard about the recent announcement that Justice David Souter was finally, I guess, according to he and his family, finally going to retire. Did you see this coming? Did you know that this was... impending news, or were you surprised?
Well, it's a funny, the Supreme Court is such a weird institution. People have been muttering for literally 2 years, Coy, that this guy had one foot out the door. I mean, Justice Souter is this sort of solitary New Hampshire bachelor. He's famous for saying, I have the best job in the world in the worst city in the world. He loathes D.C. He shuns the media. He shuns the spotlight. He never gives speeches. He never goes anywhere. You know, he famously eats one apple, seeds, core and all, and one yogurt every day for lunch. He's just kind of a weird guy. He lives in the 18th century. And he pretty much, you know, he's been on the court for 19 years, and we had been hearing rumors, first of all, that he was deeply unhappy there for years, but then starting around the beginning of April, everyone in the press corps started whispering that he had not hired clerks yet for October. So everybody was running around trying to sort of verify this story. Is it true? Is he leaving? You know, how can he wait until April and not hire clerks? But nobody was saying anything. Nobody knew a thing. So there was a major oral argument last Wednesday at the court, and everybody's going, is he leaving? Is he leaving? What's going on? Is he leaving? I don't know. What is? And Thursday night, Nina Totenberg at NPR pulled the trigger around 10 o'clock at night and, you know, put up the story that he was going. And I think took him and the White House by surprise because he wasn't ready to announce yet. But by Friday afternoon, he had written this very terse two-sentence resignation
I'm
letter.
I'm out of here.
I'm out of here. Wish I had more time to write this. And President Obama was already giving a press conference about what he was looking for in a replacement.
Now, this is a surprise because we expected Ginsburg to be the one to step down because, you know, all the news that of her cancer and, you know, fighting cancer and... A few months ago, it was all the talk that Ginsburg was on her way out.
That's right. And we talked about it on your show, yeah, that she had just been diagnosed with very serious pancreatic cancer. I have to say, she's looking pretty good. I you know, see her on the bench. She's as zippy as she's ever been. And I don't, you know, all the prognosis that I've heard is that they caught this very, very early. The treatments have been successful. The surgery was successful. And she looks good. You know, the other expectation was John Paul Stevens, who just turned 89 this month, that he'd be itching to get out. But he looks to not be going anywhere. So believe it or not, David Souter at in his 70s is one of the really youthful members of the court. But he was the one, I think, if you really watched his face, you had a sense he was ready to be gone.
We're talking with Dahlia Lithwick. So Stevens, Ginsburg, Souter, liberal members of the court, right?
Right.
By and large.
Right. I mean, the critical thing for anybody who's ready to set their hair on fire about this nomination fight we're going to have is that this is not going to change the composition of the court. And even if Obama gets to seat three justices in the next 4 or 8 years, you know, given the age and health of the justices, we're looking at the liberal wing. So all he's going to be doing is swapping out a liberal for a liberal. It's not going to be anything other than a 5-4 or arguably 4-4 court with somebody, Anthony Kennedy, in the middle for a long time. But this being a confirmation battle and this being the court, everybody has gone bananas, so much so that some of the really far-right groups have already put out talking points by Friday afternoon attacking the Obama nominee who had yet to be announced. So they were like, alternatively, they had two theories. One is that Obama's just a bad guy, so he's going to put a radical liberal activist on the court. That was the first talking point. The other was, here are some people we think he might pick, so let's just trash him in advance. And so these talking points went out on Friday night and were on all the Sunday talk shows. So it's funny. I mean, you get a sense of how exercised
people are. It's already started.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So give us an idea of who are the potential nominees. I've heard you say in another interview that it's definitely going to be a woman. We know that at this point, that the nominee will be a woman. And what's the sort of time frame for this process?
It's going to be quick. In fact, there were rumors earlier in the week coming out of the Judiciary Committee that it was going to be this week, that he was already going to announce it. Purely by happenstance, the story about Souter broke Thursday night at 10. Thursday morning, Obama happened to have had a meeting in the White House with some of his staff to produce a shortlist. So they maybe knew this was coming. In any event, I think the shortlist has been around for a little while. So I think it's going to happen quite quickly. They're saying they want this done by the time Congress leaves for its August recess. So they pretty much are looking at naming a nominee as soon as possible, letting the fireworks go for a couple of weeks.
It's going to be quite a summer.
And then having this person on the bench by October.
Wow. Wow, that is fast.
Mm-hmm. And as to the question about a woman, I think all the scuttlebutt everybody is hearing is that it's very, very important for Obama to seat a woman on this court, that you know, one woman out of nine is simply not enough. It's not representative. Interestingly, Ruth Bader Ginsburg has been very, very outspoken in the last couple of years about how much it sucks to be the only woman on the court.
She said she's lonely.
She's lonely. She said at one point last year, she said, these men don't share my sensibilities, which, you know, telegraphs a lot for somebody who doesn't talk about that. And just today, she gave an interview to Joan Biskupic at USA Today, where she did something which is very uncharacteristic for Justice Ginsburg and talked about a case that the court had just heard. This is a case the court heard 2 weeks ago, and you probably heard about it, involving the strip search of a 13-year-old girl in Arizona who was suspected of having the nefarious prescription strength Advil tucked away in her bra. And rather than call her mother or search her locker or do any of the other things, they just went right for the strip search, the school administrators. And this case comes up to the court as a impermissible search case. And everybody expected it would be kind of a close call. But even the court's liberals were sitting up there going, you know, the man, what's so wrong about making a girl strip down to her underwear and shake out her bra and shake out her underwear in front of school administrator? I used to do that all the time in gym class. You know, how is this so different from gym class? And they were so clearly clueless that at one point Ginsburg literally had to stop Justice Stephen Breyer, a predictable, reliable liberal on the court, and just be like, dude, stop talking. Like, just stop. You so don't understand what it would be to be a 13-year-old girl and be strip searched. So today she gave this interview to Joan Biskupic, and she never talks about pending cases. This case won't be decided till June. But she, in effect, said, these guys are just not getting it. They don't understand. And that's very unlike her. But I think it really was a way of signaling to the president and to the country that she's not going to sit around and let them seat another clueless guy.
Yeah. We're talking about Dahlia Lithwick. Does that also speak to this issue that Obama raised when he has talked publicly about a nominee, saying that he's interested in somebody with life experience, somebody who really understands America, somebody who, you know, in this case, might be outraged that a child was forced to be, you know, to take off her clothes at school in front of her teachers and administrators?
Yeah, I think that when he talks about empathy, and he's been doing this for a long time, it wasn't just at the press conference on Friday. He's done it on the trail throughout the campaign. When he's asked about what qualities he's looking for in a justice, he often says, I want somebody who gets it and who knows what it's like to be a single mom, who knows what it's like to have lost your job and trying to take care of your family. So I think partly it's code for these guys are completely out of touch. Every single one of them has come up through the federal appeals courts.
Ivy League schools.
Ivy Leaguers. None of them has, you know, one has served in a war. One is a woman. I mean, they just are not representative. One of my former professors at law school said, this court doesn't even represent the federal bench, much less America. I mean, it's just so not representative of anything. I think when he talks about empathy, he's also trying to press back a little on the dominant constitutional theory right now at the court, which is originalism and textualism and strict constructionism, all the things that Justice Antonin Scalia and John Roberts, Sam Alito, Clarence Thomas talk about. And it's a way of saying, look, it's just not this formalistic, mechanistic computer program where you input the data and out comes a legal opinion. You have to look at these cases as a human being would. So I think what he's doing when he talks about empathy is both talking about getting out of the monastery, getting out of the bubble, but also saying we need another constitutional theory that takes into account that these are people, these are complicated cases, this isn't just algebra.
We're talking with Dahlia Lithwick of Slate and Newsweek. Mike is on line one. Mike, thanks for holding. You're on with Dahlia. Go right ahead.
I just want to say amen to the last bit, Dahlia. I'm at UVA Law School right now, and even amongst the liberal professors, the deference to the other two branches is just extraordinary. I think that even in professors don't necessarily see the third branch as co-equal with the other two. But the question I had was, it's been reported that is her name Pamela Carlin out of Stanford and Elena Kagan may both be or are gay. And I wanted to know if Dahlia would speculate on fireworks that might provide on a court, you know, that's dominated right now by the top Scalia, Roberts, Alito wing.
They're all good questions packed in there, Mike. The answer on Pam Carlin is that on Tuesday morning, Politico magazine reported that two of the people on everyone's shortlist, Pam Carlin and Kathleen Sullivan, both of whom are world-renowned constitutional scholars at Stanford Law School, are gay. Pam Carlin confirmed it in an email. Sullivan did not. Kagan has been reported, certainly Fox News is now saying that Elena Kagan, who is our Solicitor General right now, that she's gay. That's never been confirmed anywhere, but yesterday I saw Fox News reporting it as fact. I think one of the things that's bubbling up underneath this conversation is this very, very complicated question, and I wrote about it yesterday at Slate, of what happens when you get a shortlist that's dominated by women, because that's what Obama wants, dominated by young women, because we can't put anyone over the age of 60 on the court right anymore. We want them to be there for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
So you get these women who are in their 40s or 50s. Well, what kind of woman is going to have a significant enough legal career, academic career, body of writings to be on a shortlist for a Supreme Court? Most likely it's going to be someone who's not married with 6 kids. And so then you get this problem of Elena Kagan on the shortlist being whispered about as though she's gay, Janet Napolitano on the shortlist being whispered about, Carlin and Sullivan. And it's a really interesting problem because my own feeling about this is, of course, you're going to have a lot of unmarried women with no children on this short list. It creates, that's a self-fulfilling prophecy when you're looking at this demographic. It's a very, very complicated problem for the political right. Orrin Hatch has said, and Tony Perkins from the Family Research Council are giving these very, very complicated messages right now where they're simultaneously saying Obama wouldn't dare put an out lesbian on the court. He doesn't want that fight. And then in the same breath, they tend to say, Tony Perkins said, but we don't care about personal, you know, private habits. All we care about is ideology. So there's a little bit of a, they're tempting him.
Do you think he would? Do you think he would nominate an openly gay nominee? A woman for the bench?
There's a very interesting post on the New Republic today saying he should. This is a fight he should pick because public sentiment has absolutely, now the public fight is about gay marriage. It's not about gays are bad. And so to force the right to have a fight that says, that sort of smokes out, what do you really object to? This is no longer about gay marriage. This is about, is a brilliant out gay scholar not qualified to sit on the court? So it's an interesting moment. I mean, I think there are political reasons in light of state after state falling all over themselves now to offer gay rights, to provide gay marriage. There's a lot of interesting reasons to think this is a moment that Obama could leapfrog, get out ahead of public opinion that is clearly trending towards favoring or at least having no problem at all with out gays, and sort of saying, "Hey, I want to pick this fight. I've got a filibuster-proof majority."
Wow, Greg is online too. Greg, you're on with Dahlia Lithwick. Go right ahead.
Hello, nice to meet you. What concerns me about the Supreme Court is we have drifted so far away from what our founding fathers represented, and that would be individual liberty. And I feel like we've just gone way off course. And I would like to see Mr. Obama pick somebody who was a constitutionalist that did believe in individual liberty and the right to do business without being impeded and all those things. And I think the Supreme Court legislates too much and comes up with European views and things that really don't have anything to do with our Constitution.
Greg, you know, there's some interesting candidates on the short list, including actually Cass Sunstein, who was until very recently a professor at Chicago Law School and then at Harvard Law School, who's now an advisor in the Obama administration, who are pretty staunch libertarians and have pretty strong views about the government butting out. And also, one of the things that you might find interesting about Cass Sunstein, and again, I don't know that a guy is going to make it this time around, but one of the things that's very, very interesting about him is he's a real proponent of what he calls judicial minimalism. The judges should do only the least possible that they can do and then get out and leave it to elected processes to do the rest. So there are some folks on the shortlist that might be interesting to you that really do believe in a very, very limited role for the courts.
Dahlia Lithwick is an editor at Slate and a columnist with Newsweek magazine. Appreciate you being here, Dahlia. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
You can read her work online and in Newsweek magazine. A break for CBS News, local news, and weather.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.